May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 12. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections, your own inward parts. It's always been a fascinating verse to me because God created us to live not restricted in our affections. God is love, and He created us for Himself. He created us to love Him with all of our heart and soul, mind and strength. Then one of the initial primary results of the fall is that we're restricted in our affections. We live in a lot of insecurity, fear of rejection, self-rejection, all that kind of thing. If you remember in the fall, the first thing that Adam and Eve did, they sowed fig leaves. They hid themselves from God and then hid themselves from each other. When before that, they lived in transparent affection, both towards God and toward each other. But the result of the fall was they were restricted in their affection. So part of redemption, part of what God does in us when we become born again, is the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in us to heal us so that we're no longer restricted in our affections, so that we can love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As I've mentioned before, God is a very wholehearted person. He doesn't do anything half-hearted. The cross is an example to us of how seriously and fiercely He loved us and pursued us throughout eternity. He could have just started over again when Adam and Eve fell. But in His heart of hearts, He already knew you. He was already in love with you. And He was willing to pay any price to take the chance that you might give your heart back to Him. That's wholeheartedness. The Scripture says His love is like a vehement fire, not judgment, in terms of its degree of passion and commitment and wholeheartedness. So the Lord's always trying to win us over, so that we become wholehearted in our response to Him, wholehearted in our surrender, wholehearted in our giving, wholehearted in our believing and trusting, wholehearted in our obedience, wholehearted in our serving and witnessing. God does not live in an atmosphere of half-heartedness. Now think about it. I was thinking this morning, what is the Holy Spirit's favorite thing to do? Just the Holy Spirit. Not first and foremost in relationship to us, but what is His favorite thing to do? Because usually, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, especially if charismatics are talking, they would lead you to believe that the Holy Spirit's favorite thing to do is to manifest the anointing and to perform signs and wonders. But that's not true. You know, one of the things about the Godhead is that God is the most social creature that's ever existed. He lives in a realm of three persons, one God, one substance, one being, but still three persons. He lives in perpetual social environment, in perpetual fellowship with each other. Even though He's one, He's three persons. It's confusing, but it's true. God's relational. And I was thinking about this. It says in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, I'll just read the first verses so you kind of get the context. In the midst of these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things, or in the midst of these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. So this is the throne room realm that John's been invited into. And he was sitting on the throne, was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And this is about the Holy Spirit. And when he talks about the Holy Spirit, it says, here's what the Holy Spirit's doing. If you look into heaven, he may be doing other things because he's God. So the Holy Spirit can be omnipresent because He's God, right? But His favorite thing to do is to burn before the throne. The Godhead lives in perpetual adoration of each other. Only God can be egotistical and not be sin. He enjoys Himself. The Godhead enjoys themselves. And the Holy Spirit's great passion is to live burning burning, passionately adoring, the other persons of the Godhead. That's the Holy Spirit's great priority. And therefore, it's easy for him. His primary ministry then isn't doing signs and wonders through us. His primary ministry is to get us to take it, to own his heart and to be a burning one before the throne too. His primary desire is to release our affections so they're not restricted towards God. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 that God is an all-consuming fire. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 16, there is a fire that never says enough. There's a place in Isaiah 41, it says, who can live with perpetual burning? Who can live with a continual consuming fire? And all that's talking about the Lord. See, fires have to constantly consume. They have to be fueled. And God's an all-consuming fire, so he's always consuming our hearts more and more, consuming our affections, longing for us to love him above everything else in the world and above everything everyone else in the world, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a fire, and it's the heart of God that never says enough. Oh, I have enough of you. No, he always wants more. He's always wanting more. He's always wanting more. He's always wanting more. He's always wanting more. And that question in Isaiah, who can be like the Holy Spirit? Who can so cooperate with the Holy Spirit whose primary purpose, primary desire is to be burning before the throne in affections towards the Godhead? His primary thing is to bring us to a place where, like him, we become a burning one. If the Holy Spirit's really doing his work in your life, it's not first and foremost going to show up in miracles and signs and wonders. It's going to first and foremost you being in union with the Holy Spirit and you're allowing the all-consuming fire to so consume you that you become like that one in Isaiah 41. It says, who can live with perpetual burning? The Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit wants us to live that way. That what we're identified as is someone who so loves him that we live our life conscious before his presence every waking moment, burning with passion and affection for God. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.